Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. April 15, 2018. My thoughts on Twitter, the 15th of April 2018. A person lives by society's values, not his own. Besides necessities for his body, the rest is evaluated only by his pride, which is fulfilled by society. Therefore, we need a society that will imbue us with the value of spiritual progress, then we'll advance. The upper nature is a system connecting us into one whole. But we see a broken world. Just as we draw a picture and break it up into parts for a child to put it together and understand, that's how we have to put ourselves, our broken world, together correctly, using hints from above. The upper world is only revealed in our generation. The past was only about preparation. Never before was spirituality revealed, but today, it is. Hence, our generation is called the Mashiach generation. Even though we still hate each other. Man lives not by his own values, but that of the society. Besides bodily necessities, the rest is only appraised by his pride, which the society fulfills. Hence, we need a society that regards spiritual advancement as valuable, then you can advance. In our world, the ego approves of society's opinion, for this increases it. On the spiritual path, the ego opposes connection with the group, for this decreases it. A Kabbalist must choose groups or society's opinion. The Torah's opinion is contrary to the society's opinion. We discover that we've grown by being disillusioned in life. The developed ego shuts us in, and we become bound. Herein lies the crisis, Babeldom. And just like in Babylon, we need an Abraham. Uncontrollable urges arise in man, so that he sees what a tiny animal he is. To turn to the Creator, ask to acquire importance of the goal, for all the disturbances to be of lower importance than the goal. To raise and not lower him. There's no good or evil. There are two forces, bestowal and reception. They must unite in one intention. The process of their unification forges the states of the world. Observe it impartially, or you won't understand it. A judge is guided only by his eyes, not heart. I can't get rid of egoism since I don't see it correctly, only hindrances to unity need correction. How long must I wander, till I realize what needs to be corrected? I tried correcting myself for so long, till I realized, it's unity with the group that needs correction. Torah is intended only to correct man and practically bring him to union with the Creator, here, in this world, in our unity, to correct the Creator's concealment, the broken common soul. Torah is light that returns us to, equivalence with, the Creator. A field blessed by the Creator is the opportunity we have to work in the ten, where we must gather all the parts of our common soul, which now seem divided to us, and unite them into one desire, a spiritual body. Then the Creator will reign inside it. There's harmony all around us. All calamities are the influence of the intensifying good light, which we aren't able to properly receive. An egoist is someone who's against unity in the group. All others are animals. Shift your focus from yourself to the group, then you are looking at the place of the Creator's revelation. I created egoism, the Creator meant that he manifested in the breakage of the soul. One who encounters Pharaoh, one's ego and submits to him, willing to work for some grub, remains there, unaware of enslavement in the ego, justifying himself and awaiting rewards. The Creator is attained by one who overcomes the ascent against the ego, in unity, he reveals the Creator. A newcomer arrives to find out about Kabbalah, at first he's satisfied, but then challenges arise, followed by complaints. Entry to the upper world is described in Torah, after he came to Pharaoh, things got worse. But how else can we escape from him? Neo-antisemitism. The people of Israel, who emerged from the group of Abraham's disciples, do not exist for themselves. They exist in order to bring the method of connecting with the upper force and revealing the entirety of nature, the quality called the Creator, to all of humanity. This group is obliged to realize its mission. Therefore, as humanity develops and becomes desperate from its development, it starts making complaints to this group for their aimless, failed, and empty lives. The more the nations of the world develop, the more complaints they will make to the group called Israel, demanding that it fulfill its mission. Humanity does not know about the mission of the people of Israel, nor the reasons for their hatred of the Jews, because it also is influenced by the concealment. Abraham's group itself, after the long journey it has made throughout history, forgot what exactly it must fulfill and why it is hated. But anti-Semitism exists as a phenomenon that will not disappear until this group fulfills its purpose, either under pressure from humanity or through the awakening and understanding of this group itself. Either way, this group will unite and show an example of unity to all mankind. Then the upper light will spread through this group to all people, as Baha Sulam writes in Introduction to the Book of Zohar. In this way, the entire world will come to the desired correction. From the third part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, April 9, 2018, lesson on the topic, Holocaust Remembrance Day. Answers to your questions, Part 223. Question: A super effort is a plea and a request to the Creator in a state when I am feeling the utmost greatness of the Creator. It can only be through great effort and only for a few seconds. Then the effort evaporates, and a preparation for a new drop of effort is required again. This is especially prominent during a group reading of the Book of Zohar. I have heard that a student of a great Rav could reach effort like this up to 300 times during a reading of the Book of Zohar. This is not easy, it requires special intention, an environment, self-development, a special state, and so on. Does an effort like this require previous preparation? Answer: the ability to implement an effort like this is acquired only after many years of study in a group. New Life Number 970. Life Behind Our Social Masks, Part 1.
Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Shadavel. Hello. Today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about masks. Masks are something that we put on not only when we go to a Halloween party or on the holiday of Purim, but in our day-to-day life, in the morning, in the evening. I meet different people in different situations, and I wear different masks correspondingly. So this is what we'll try to understand today, our life behind masks. Be with us, Yael, please. So a mask is something that we meet in our day-to-day life, on the Carnival of Venice, on the holiday of Purim, but it's something that exists for many years. In ancient Greece, you had many different kinds of masks. The face is the thing that best represents a person's personality. And really, in ancient Greece, you had very steady masks. The happy mask, the crying mask, disappointed mask, angry mask, different manifestations of that very person in different states. Also, psychology refers to masks as a kind of persona. It means, how do I present myself in my day-to-day life? It could be different every time. We present ourselves differently according to the different roles that we have in life. I have a certain mask with my children, at work I have a different mask, and if I'm arguing with, I don't know, my cellular company's customer service, then I have a different mask. And today we'd like to understand this entire phenomenon of masks. Why does it exist? What is its goal? And we'll talk about the implications of this phenomenon, the implications it has on our life. And I like to start with a very simple question. Why does a person have the need to every time present himself differently? Why can't I just be myself? We don't even know who we are. No one knows himself. No one knows who he is. Because when we start understanding a bit after we're born where we are, then we see different faces, smiling faces that go ooh, pa-pa-pam, and so on. And from this I learn how to respond. And therefore, who am I? I don't know. Then I'm told you have to be like this and behave like that and think and see. I completely depend on my environment, on society. That I was born from my mother, it doesn't mean anything. I'm like a small animal. But then society turns me into whatever it wants, and I start taking on the shape and form that society demands me to, and I behave in a certain way, dress in a certain way, respond in a certain way. It's all in accordance with my environment. And who am I? There is no I. But why don't I present myself the same all the time? In accordance with what society demands you to, the way you were taught, also like you learned in life, how you have to behave in order to protect yourself all the time. Right, this is how it is in life. In every situation I behave differently, so also my child learns it from me and does the very same. But I'm talking as a principle. Why do we have to all the time change our external appearance? Why can't life be built in such a way where I have just one persona? I'm always myself, Oren is always Oren, because we're not animals, we're human beings. Animals have the same appearance all the time. Also animals, especially those that live with human beings, they also have changes in character, or more precisely, in their moods. But actually, this is what separates a human being from animals, that we have the ability to manage ourselves and express ourselves towards the world, towards others, differently every time, in accordance with our ego, that our ego forces us to be something else every time, in order to make sure that every time we'll have the most beneficial response. Our ego changes all the time. The ego forces me to change my external appearance towards the world in order to gain the best possible response from the world for myself. So it's a matter of cost-effectiveness, of course. I do it because I'm benefiting as a result, right? But every time it changes, and then I start considering, should I or shouldn't I put on this entire charade? Suppose people get married. You as a psychologist, you know, they get married. So before the marriage, everything's fine, and everyone's sweet and cute, treating each other favorably. After some time, after the marriage, what, I have to act out all the time, play with her all the time, or she has to play with me, then we take off our masks. It happens so gradually. And suddenly, each of us sees the other without their mask as someone completely different. I thought that I'm getting married with such and such person, and this is also what she thought about me, that I'm like this and like that. And suddenly we see, when we take off our masks, that God help us. Who did I marry and who did she marry, suppose? And then you have a problem. Big problem. Is it always that bad when we're without masks? I need the mask in order to adapt myself to the environment and to receive the best possible response, beneficial response from the environment. And then, accordingly, I do the math. How much should I invest in that mask, or shouldn't I? Suppose most of our day we spend at work. So at first I invest a lot and a lot, and then gradually I start taking my foot off the pedal because he can't be that courteous all the time. And then, more or less, I become as I am, but also not like at home, right? And so on. Meaning these masks, we need them, but it depends on how much do we have to pay for them. Is it possible to live without masks at all? Is there such a situation? We're so bad on the inside that without a mask, we don't even know ourselves. Even with ourselves, we're wearing a mask. This is how we were taught, this is how we were raised, and I don't know myself. What happens to a person if he really takes off all of his masks? He can't, but suppose he would? He would discover that he's an animal, egoistic, terrible animal, something between a wolf and a snake and a lion, in short, the angel of death. The angel of death is kind of far from a person, but what would a person discover there? Who am I? He'd discover the creature who wants to use everyone without taking anyone into consideration in a very aggressive way, only for his own benefit, without the ability to take anyone into consideration besides himself. And you're saying that also towards ourselves we put on a mask because we don't feel that this is how we are. Right, because we were taught and were given such rules, conducts of behavior that gave us this second nature, and so this is how we behave. Even when I'm with myself, I think, this is nicer, this isn't, this like that. It's called self-dignity, self-respect. You use it in psychology, right? Yeah, a person always wants to look good to himself too. Right, that's called self-respect, that I have to appreciate myself as a person, and therefore I can't do, even if I'm alone and there's no one there, still I have to somehow be on a certain degree that separates me from animals. But an animal doesn't have any calculations, therefore everything that it does is correct. It's all according to nature. Whereas a person who's not controlled by his own nature directly and in a revealed way, therefore, he has a problem. I want to understand. You're saying that there's no person that has no mask. Even if he's by himself, he has some kind of mask. And from what I understand, this mask is built out of all the education that I got from birth. Right. So from the moment I'm born, there's myself that has no masks. That's terrible, like you said before, that you never felt before. Okay. And this I, this terrible felon, grows all the time, but accordingly, you put on masks all the time, and so you don't know who you are. So this is exactly my question. Why is the education that I get and the way I behave, why doesn't it change this inner self of mine that's like an evil beast that's going and growing all the time? I'm not in the jungle, I'm among human beings. I'm educated, I'm taught how to behave. You think it's worse in the jungle? It's much better in the jungle. Okay, let's put the jungle aside. What I want to understand is why what a person learned and the rules of behavior that he has adapted because this is how I behave, why is this not his new self? Why are you differentiating this inner layer inside of a person that's like an evil beast? Because he keeps these external forms, these masks, he keeps them because he wants to protect himself from self-criticism and from external criticism. And therefore he has no choice. But really? If he'd take off all these layers of masks, and it's layers over layers, then he'd see how horrible he really is. I'm trying to understand. this horrible person on the inside who I'd meet if I could take off all of my masks, according to what you're saying. He doesn't actually exist anywhere. Why am I saying this? Because I don't behave like that horrible creature that would behave this way, because I'm already an educated person and I learn different things in life, and even when I'm with myself, as you said, I'll behave in a certain way. So who is that person that you call a terrible beast? That's the true human being in you. That's your true self. Where is he? I'll tell you. Why are you putting on external masks? I don't feel that this is how it is. No, no, don't say that. You're analyzing me, but I, as a human being, I don't feel that I'm putting on masks. This is how I behave. You see people take to the streets, they yell, I'm for this, I'm for that. It's all masks. You see it on them. They were turned on, manipulated. They were sold something. And they have new masks. Do they feel it's a mask? There are those that do, there are those that don't. And suppose a person doesn't feel that it's a mask. I think that most of the people don't feel that they were manipulated one way or another. They feel that they themselves went to one or another kind of protest or whatever. And were it good if they would see what's going on the inside? On condition that they know how to correctly cope with it. Meaning, it's really hard to cope with it. Yeah. Because the question I wanted to ask was, why is the world really built in such a way where we're constantly covered? People don't want to suffer. We talked about it. But all these masks, I need them in order not to suffer. I want a good, nice response from the environment. So the ego actually creates these masks also towards myself. Of course, it's for your protection. There are different opinions about masks. What is a mask? There are those that say that it's for your protection. There are those that say that it's in order to hide myself from society. It's the same. There are those that say that it's actually to turn into someone else. A person has different fantasies. He wants to be a bit of this, a bit of that. It's all the same. And there is an opinion that says that actually everything that I present outwards are also things that exist inside of me. These are parts that exist inside of me, but it's not me. How's that possible? Is this how it is? I portray Hamlet. I'm acting someone out all the time. I'm never myself. You're only pieces of yourself. It's not even myself. Inside of me there is some kind of a golem, and this golem is dressed differently all the time. And the golem is never revealed. Never. But the clothings of that golem, are these authentic parts of that golem? No. So where do all of these things come from? From the external world. It's completely external to who I am? Yeah, of course. That's why I said several times that I don't know who I am. So I want to state this very clearly. There's a very clear separation between my true inner self, that Owen asked, who is that? It's unknown. And he's also a serious criminal. He's not a serious criminal. He's kind of a pure egoist. Okay, that's internally, and I have different external manifestations that are completely unrelated to that inner creature that's sitting inside of me. I acquire these masks from the outside throughout life, and I use them every time in accordance with the environment. I want to understand, why is there such a clear separation between the person's internality and externality? Again, I'm repeating, I want to get a good response from the environment. Something that pays off. This I understand from a person's perspective, but I'm speaking on part of nature, the way reality is built. because my will to receive wants the benefit every time in whatever state I am, each and every moment. And therefore, I switch masks according to whatever is beneficial. So on part of the ego, it's beneficial not to look on who I am on the inside, but to every time be someone else according to my interests. I can't even look at who I am on the inside because I don't know him. Can I ever get to know him? No. Never. Not never. For this you start studying the wisdom of Kabbalah, and when you acquire the nature of the Creator, the will to bestow, the will to love others, then correspondingly, according to this mask that I wear, a mask where I acknowledge what I acquire, then accordingly, I start getting to know myself without a mask. This is also a mask? I'm going to acquire a special mask called Ve'i Shem Hashem Alecha, may the Creator's name be upon you. And is this a mask or this is my truth? There is no truth. There is no truth. It's all relative. Eventually, I acquire, I take on the form of the Creator. This is why I'm called an Adam in Hebrew, meaning both human being and also to resemble the Creator. That's it. What's the truth? Why is a form that's opposite to the Creator not true? It's also true. This is true. And that's true. I make a mask for myself that's the same as God? Yeah. What does that mean? I want to be an Adam, a human being, which means someone who's similar to the Creator. What does that mean? That has the same quality of love and bestow. What is that? The quality of giving. So, a person, when I was a child, we used to play with Play-Doh. We used to make different shapes, hand shapes, face shapes, and so on. So, in order to get to know oneself, a person has to put on a new mask, a higher mask, which is a mask in which he becomes like the Creator. That's what you're saying? An Adam, a human being, is someone who makes himself like the Creator, which means to put on a mask that has the qualities of love and giving, yes, which is called masach, a screen, and ol chuzel, reflected light in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Suppose I make this kind of mask, if you can explain this a bit, what does it mean then? That I am the will to enjoy, raw desire to receive pleasure. And I want for this desire to behave like the Creator, like God. And then, by a special technique called the wisdom of Kabbalah, I gradually acquire from the Creator qualities of love and bestow, and I dress in them, I present myself this way, and suddenly I become like the Creator, and then I understand who the Creator is. How? From your actions, do we know you? When I behave this way, I understand, oh, this the Creator. I behave a bit differently than, oh, this the Creator. And do I identify the Creator? I don't. But this is called, may the Creator's name be upon you, meaning, I come to know the Creator by becoming like him. This process you just described, how is it different than the initial mask that your parents made for you when they told you, behave nicely, share, don't fight? This is, suppose, the first mask you got. And then life built many other masks for you. And now you're telling me, Owen, you really want to know who you are? Then you have to make a mask for yourself that's like God. You have to act out a role of love and giving. So he gave me another mask. Number 1001, suppose. What's the essential change? So I have another mask. So what? No. There, I was an animal. And my entire life was about my protein body, only taking it into consideration. How comfortable does this feel in each given moment? Now, I'm thinking completely differently. How do I become like the Creator? No less. Imagine how great the ego has to be, how insolent I have to be, and I want it. I want to be like the Creator. Only to be like the Creator, it means to be in giving and so much in bestowal towards others up to the point of love, where I love the others. Suppose this is mask number 1001.
Yeah.
How does it influence all the 1,000 previous masks that I have from birth? I rise above them. How? I rise above them. I don't enter these forms. What, it's a different mask? Yeah, it's a different mask. In the previous masks, I took on different roles that I see in this world. And with this mask, I'm really like the Creator. How do I know? I feel Him. And with the other masks, I don't feel the mask that I have. No, I feel as a person in this world. So this mask takes me to a different phase. It raises me to the divine level of existence that I wasn't familiar with before. So this technique where I put a different mask on every time, portray a different role, and still something new is created here. How is that possible? Why is something new created here? And with my previous masks in life, the only thing that was created was another mask. Because this mask, which is like God, is opposite to all the previous masks, because in it, I act out love and bestowal towards everyone. And then I, when I start acting it out, and I'm asking for forces, I'm asking for examples to act it out correctly, then I really learn how to be like God. So I'm learning how to be an Adam, a human being, because Adam, man, is similar to the Creator. The same image, the same mask that I put on, that I dress in, and that this is how I become like Him, like the upper force. This is my God. I become Him. Sorry for being forward, but why should I take this mask? How is it better than all the previous masks I had? This mask is independent of my beast. It raises me to the degree of perfection and eternity. This mask gives me adhesion with the upper force. I reach His level of perfection and eternity, and I don't finish my life like any other beast, where I grow old and die. So it opens a door to something new. This is what I understand. Something that doesn't happen, suppose, with the previous masks, because they're okay, I have another one, but it's the same game, actually. And here is if I'm going into something, into that new thing. You ask, what's life behind masks? So here it's a perfect and eternal life compared with the life that you live behind the masks of this world, which is a life that is one big loss and eventually it's over. But still, I have a mask. Of course. Of course. A mask of being like God is the thickest mask. It's the mask that conceals my internality the most. True? So what? So what does this mask do? It adapts me to the Creator. And without the mask, I can't imagine myself at all. At the beginning of the show, you said that the mask, it's like an adapter. It helps me adapt myself to the environment. Right. So what does it mean that I have a thick mask and it adapts itself to what? There is the Creator, and regarding Him, there is the inanimate, vegetative, animate, people in this world. They're all in masks. Only the inanimate, the vegetative, and the animate, they have masks, clothing, external appearances, forms that constantly change without any free choice. They're necessarily changed by the upper force, by the Creator. a person in this world already receives freedom to live in between several masks. And this is how he lives his life. This is only as a preparation to build a mask that's like the Creator. And he builds that mask and he rises to the degree of the Creator and becomes like the Creator. But it's all behind the mask. It's called Tzimtzum restriction, Masach screen, and Ochozel reflected light, and he's called an Adam because he's similar to the upper force. Dr. Lightman, our time's unfortunately up. We have many more questions. In the meantime, thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.